It's time for Gerby's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gerby. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan Gerby and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gerby and Carrie Kasem.
A good afternoon, Los Angeles, and all of you listening on the web. I am Alan Gerby, and I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan Gerby and Wynn. And today, as usual, I am here to be the managing partner of your life. And you know, folks, we haven't been on for the last 2 weeks live because the L.A. Kings were playing and they preempted us. And, of course, unfortunately, they did not make the NHL playoffs. And then we were in Toronto, at least me and my family, and my co-host, the beautiful, the intelligent, the Carrie Kasem, was in Mexico. Hey, Carrie, good to see you back.
Good to see you. It feels like it's been a lot longer than 2 weeks for some reason.
I really missed you.
Oh, I don't know if I believe you.
Well, I had a lot to talk about, and I didn't have someone to interrupt me all the time.
I knew it. You didn't.
How was your trip to Mexico?
It was really nice. It was a much-needed vacation. It was short and sweet, but it was nice. I got to swim with dolphins, which was really fun. Yeah. But it was good. How about you? How was Toronto?
It was great. We had a great time with the family, and little Hudson and Harper had a chance to spend time with their cousins and their grandmother and aunts and uncles. So we had a great time, but I'll tell you, while we were gone, I had a little misfortune occur at the www.rgwlawfirm.com.
What was that?
We were hacked.
Ooh.
Itaro attacker got our website, and while I was in Toronto, I looked at our website, and it said, owned by Itaro attacker. And went and looked him up, saw he has a Facebook page, and he was bragging about all of the hacking that he had done, destroyed our website, took care of SEO, which for those of you who don't know is
search engine optimization.
For the last 4 years, we built it up.
It takes a long time,
yep.
And it's a very expensive process to get a website up and running, and actually... I mean, having people come to your website because of the search engines.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's oh my.
You know, it was terrible. Oh. And this guy has a Facebook page, but I absolutely do not think it was him who attacked. But they've got these, elaborate schemes of hacking. And this guy on Facebook, and I wrote to Facebook, he said, get him off of Facebook because it's illegal activity. And this is a law show. Illegal activity.
Wait,
should
so
not.
Wait, so what happened? What happened? What's happening
told
with you your
would
website?
Interrupt me.
No, I know. I have to know.
We rebuilt it. Took about a week, but it's back up and running. The SEO is suffering, so we're going to have to build that up. But these things happen. You can't just get angry about everything, although I was pissed off about this website. But I've kept my calm. I've learned about my anger management. And I'll tell you, that's something that Aaron Hernandez probably should have thought about before he went on this killing spree. Of course, this week we heard that Aaron Hernandez, former tight end of the New England Patriots, was convicted and will spend his life in prison. But again, you know, this is a victory for circumstantial evidence. Because for those of you who have been following the Aaron Hernandez trial, you know that no one was found with a gun. There were no witnesses who came to testify at court. But
there was just a box that his girlfriend decided to take out, not look at at all, and dump.
And dump.
And so dump, but no,
that's part of the circumstantial evidence. There is other circumstantial evidence, like the pings from his phone that went all along the route to the murder, like having the shell casing that matched the Glock 45 in his car, the DNA of both Hernandez and Lloyd, the victim, in the car at the same time and on a marijuana butt at the scene of the crime. There were all of these circumstances. They had prints of his shoe, which was a big shoe and a rare shoe, but we never found the shoes, never found the gun. And, of course, Hernandez dismantled his security system in his home, and we saw him doing that. So these are what we call circumstances that ended up convicting him. It was not a hung jury, as people thought might occur. And it is a victory for circumstantial evidence. Some people think that circumstantial evidence is stronger than witness evidence because witness evidence has subjectivity and it also has the degree of lying in it, where circumstantial evidence, if it adds up, it adds up. And the example that Ann Bremner gives, the famous lawyer who is often on our program, says it's the footprints in the snow example. You go to sleep and a fresh coat of snow falls on your front yard and you see footprints and a newspaper at your door. So you know that someone delivered that newspaper. Who it was, we don't know, but that's where all the circumstances come in. So I think it was a good verdict. And, you know, what we want to talk about is Aaron Hernandez a psychopath or does he have anger issues?
What can you be both? I think you can be both. I think he's a sociopath slash psychopath slash anger management, somebody who would absolutely need that. So I think you can have all of them, right?
Well, probably so. But here's the real issue, and we're going to learn about this from our guest today. And we are honored, very honored to have with us Dr. Christian Conti, who, of course, is the co-host of the show, the Spike Network show, Coaching Bad, with Ray Lewis, former linebacker with the Baltimore Ravens. And he is an anger management specialist, a doctor who is nationally certified as a psychologist. And we are going to bring him on shortly. But I just want to talk a little bit about this legal issue here. Because, Carrie, when you talk about psychopaths, you talk about people who may be incapable of knowing right from wrong, or perhaps they do know right from wrong, but don't care. They have time to think about it. When we talk about anger, we talk about a temporal situation where contemporaneous instances occur which cause person to lash out.
Right.
And it seems in the Aaron Hernandez case, there was plenty of time for Aaron Hernandez to actually plan this and get Lloyd together with the other two fellows who he called in from Connecticut to come in and commit the murder. So is that really anger, and is that something that Dr. Conti can help a person with?
I've had my fair share of sociopaths in my life, and I don't think they can be helped. I really, truly don't. I don't think there's anything that it can help people who are histrionic, sociopathic. You can be angry, and I think that can definitely be helped, and you can get help with that. But to be a true sociopath, I don't know if there's anything that will help you.
Well, I think that's a good point, and that's something we're going to have to talk about with Dr. Conti. But, you know, last night I sat and read my little son Hudson, who's 2 years old, a book called Hands Are Not for Hitting. Unfortunately, he has discovered that Nancy and I are giving Harper, our one-year-old daughter, a lot of attention, and he's not exactly thrilled with it. So sometimes he'll go over to Harper, and instead of kissing and hugging her, which he loves to do, he'll hit her.
Ooh.
So we got this book called Hands Are Not for Hitting, and this is, you know, anger management starting out for a two-year-old. And it gives you quick tips for reducing anger. And here they are. Squish dough or clay.
Really?
Dig in the sand. Draw a mad picture, then rip it up. Do jumping jacks or jump up and down. And the last one, my favorite, is yell into a pillow.
You know, I've done all those things. I guess I've gone through so many years of therapy. Tons of it. Did you bring that pillow from home?
Oh.
Alan has this huge pillow up by his face. And he threw it again. And he's screaming into it. Did you bring that from home?
Of course. I'm carrying it around everywhere I go.
Did they have it at a station here? Did they have it here?
I go to court with it.
Yep.
And in front of the judge, when I don't like what the lawyer on the other side is saying, I just, instead of screaming at the lawyer, I scream into my pillow.
Makes sense. Makes sense. I've done so much of that. I don't know. I think maybe something can help you. At least it's temporary. When you can scream or get it out, I think it's temporary. But something inside you, there's something more that makes you angry. And I think that, I mean, look, I believe in reincarnation. I believe in past lives. It's just me. I mean, my dad did. We kind of grew up believing that. So I believe stuff like that can come from way back when. I believe there are children who are born angry.
All right. Well, we're going to find out about that. And if you want to call in, the number here is 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-KABC. Call us with your stories of anger. And if you want to talk to Dr. Christian Conti, give us a call. We will be right back after this message. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Any person who makes or causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn, 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
The first step to a beautiful lawn this spring is an application of Revive. Hi, Dale Langford here. You know, I've been writing lawn and garden columns for over 40 years. And I found one product that really works. It's Revive Organic Soil Treatment. Revive is a proven, unique formula of wetting agents, soil conditioners, and nutrients. It's organic-based, safe for kids and pets, and will not burn your lawn. Revive moves fertilizer and water down deep to the roots. Hey, that saves water and fertilizer, and that saves money. The results are spectacular. Get greener grass with less water. A lush, dark green, healthy lawn that you can be proud of. And remember, saving water is saving money. Revive is available at your favorite garden center. Visit revive.com for more information and store locations. Use Revive every few weeks for the greenest lawn on your block. In fact, use Revive right now. It works.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervey and Carrie Kaysen now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
Yes, indeed. You are listening to Alan Gervey and Carrie Kaysen right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. And we are back right here on Gervey's Law. Carrie, you know, we also have a guest I failed to say in the first segment that we have coming on later in the show, Ken Kokin, of course.
Oh, yes.
He's always on our show.
With his big question.
The big question of the day, because, you know, I am the managing partner of most people's lives, and he represents that segment of the population, always has a question for the managing partner of the life, so we will get to him later. Right now, we are turning our attention to something very, very important, something that I deal with as a lawyer every day, trying to restrain myself because I'm in court constantly, and there's a lot of bad behavior at court with lawyers, and I try to maintain decorum, but sometimes it's very difficult. And, of course, there are criminals who are put away because they can't or didn't contain their anger. We want to welcome to Gervey's Law right now Dr. Christian Conti. Dr. Conti,
Hey, it's good to be here, guys.
Hi, good to have you on.
Welcome to Gervie's Law. You are doing special work, God's work, if you will, because I'll tell you, this is something that people don't pay enough attention to, which is how to control their anger. Dr. Conti is a founder of the center in South Lake Tahoe, which works with people who have been convicted of violent crimes. Now, before we talk about Aaron Hernandez, I want to hear from a positive perspective, Dr. Conti. That's what we're doing. We're making negatives into positives here. You tell us how you have helped so many people who have convicted violent crimes to turn their life around.
Well, first of all, I mean, I'd like to say I think you did a really good job when your website was hacked at not going off.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
And, I mean, if we look at that, in all seriousness, there was a set of skills that you were able to implement, which is self-taught. Like, this is not the end of the world. It is unfortunate. It's frustrating as can be, for sure, but it's not the end of the world. And there are so many people out there that simply do not understand how powerful self-talk is. So what I've done is made a career out of teaching people about what they say to themselves. And when they learn about their self-talk, when they realize that what they're saying magnifies whatever's going on to the nth degree, then they can get a handle on their anger. And to be honest, I think people are just excited about learning it because they just don't get it early on.
You know, that may be the case, but it certainly begs the question when we talk about someone like Aaron Hernandez, if you're dealing with someone who may be a psychopath, a sociopath, schizophrenic or whatever, and they have the opportunity to plan out to premeditate crimes, is that something that you just cannot deal with? Are you presupposing that the people who you can help actually have some bit of normalcy in their psyche?
I mean, I think so, but, you know, I think that's a careful, I mean, it's a dangerous place to go because if we throw out blanket statements that there are people that simply cannot be helped, then people, at least in my position, would say it gets very, it's a slippery slope because then as I train counselors, you say, which person are we going to say? Nope, that person has no shot. I think that people who are struggling with those intense issues definitely are more difficult to treat. And there are certainly, I just spent the last 6 months studying my theory in the hole. So I basically was not only just in a state prison, but in the hole, and not just in any hole, but they failed out of every other hole in the state, and they got there. So the most violent criminals in the state. And one of the things I saw were people who did these horrific, horrific crimes and did not have any remorse for that stuff. So obviously those are some extreme cases, and that does seem to exist. But I hate to just throw that out there just wildly on the radio thing so people think, well, maybe I can't help it if I do this or if I hurt someone. Maybe I just can't help it. And so that's just not true for the majority of people. It does happen, though.
So, but there are, and I think, and just because I've met some, like, varying degrees of, like, people who are sociopathic, people who just like to hurt people with their words, just mean, evil people, like, just a couple bosses I've had to deal with, just are cruel. They like to be cruel. And for me, I mean, I don't think they'd go out and kill somebody, but they have this, they revel in hurting people. Like by saying horrible things to them. Do you think that could be a degree of being maybe a sociopath?
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. And there are, you're right, it's a continuum. It's a continuum. People get so locked in their egos that the world becomes about them.
Right.
And then if someone nudges them the wrong way or does anything the wrong way, well, some people will lash out and really try to tear those other people down. So you talk about some of those former bosses, maybe they perceive the slight, even though there may have not have been a
right,
slight.
Right, exactly. Like where there's none or where you think, oh, we're friends, he's cool, and then all of a sudden you've done something bad, you've done something wrong, they're putting you down. It's like, wait a second, back up.
You know, Christian, I want to ask you, I don't know if you've seen the video of Britt McHenry, the ESPN sportscaster who was very angry at this tow company. Have you seen that video?
No, I haven't seen that.
Okay, but you're aware of the story, and it's a perfect example of someone who obviously went overboard, started lashing out at the woman there. But at the same time, I think a lot of us could kind of understand some of the things that she was saying because she felt she was treated unfairly. So what I want you to add right now is how do we deal, what concepts should we use when we may be dealing with someone who we think is treating us unfairly and we just don't know how to maintain decorum at that point.
Well, I think there's a big difference between assertiveness and aggressiveness. So I teach people how to be assertive because you don't want to just take it. In other words, if people are constantly doing, as Carrie said, somebody just putting you down and doing that stuff, that hurts your own psyche. You just take it.
Right.
And eventually you're going to erupt. So I teach people how to be assertive. There are ways to assert your place in the world without going into violence or going into aggression with someone else. In other words, you're almost drawing boundaries for yourself. So that's really important, I think, for everyone to do. Because when you don't do that and you get so much at you all the time, it builds up, and then you end up lashing out.
You know,
does that make sense?
It does make a lot of sense. And I got to tell you that one of the concepts that you talk about is putting being right on hold when you're in a potential argument. And I have a real tough time with that. I'm not saying that I'm right, but when I'm in court all the time and I'm there every day, I have a lawyer who may be lying to the judge, who may be misrepresenting the facts. And I'm looking at your, by the way, great YouTube videos. If you go to your website, drchristianconte.com, that's drchristianconte.com, you'll see some great videos. And he talks about putting being right on hold. I have a really difficult time when I know I'm right. How do I deal with that?
Well, okay, so you have to ask yourself, when you communicate, do you want to talk just to talk, or do you want to talk so that you're actually heard? And that's a really big difference for a lot of people, because sometimes people want to say, I'm just going to say whatever I have to say, and it doesn't matter what you have there. You're just going to listen to me. And we can't force people to listen. So what I teach people to do is try to circumvent the fight or flight response of someone else, because you've got to get around that so that they can actually hear you. So the metaphor for me is kind of like, it's really oversimplified, but for radio listeners, I think it could be helpful. If you think about the front of your head as your thinking part of your brain, and think about the middle of your head as your emotional part. If you're going to just talk at people, you're just basically talking to the emotional part, but you want them to be using that front part. So you're really shooting yourself in your own foot. That's the key, is to try to get around that emotional state. And to do that, sometimes you have to look at the process, not just the outcome.
You know what I've found for me is when I feel like I know I'm right, but the other person is emotional about it or they feel the same way, you agree that they believe that's right. And you can agree with maybe some of the stuff. Okay, I see your point. I do see that. I can see how you see that. And you can maybe really take yourself out, put yourself in their shoes and go, okay, I can see that. Let them know you see it, and they will actually be more amiable. They will understand where you're coming from. I found that that's a really good communication thing that I do. It's like, settle down, let's get some of the emotion out, agree with something, and when you happen to agree with somebody, they can then turn around and kind of see where you're coming from.
Oh, that's exactly it. So let's take, if you're talking about dealing with someone with anger, and that person is fired up.
Yeah.
You can come at them so logically and say, hey, listen, if you do this, this, and this, they're not listening. They're
right.
Just angry.
Right.
And
right.
The most important thing to do is validate. Just like you're 100% right. You validate them. They get that energy out.
Yep.
Once they get that energy out, now they can move to that thinking part of their brain and actually have a conversation with you.
Exactly, because they're not rational. You're not speaking to somebody who can even be rational. So you have to get them
right
to the rational point first and then have the conversation. And that's the way, funny, people always say, I don't know how you do that. Like if somebody's angry or somebody's not listening. Just, well, find something to agree with them with.
You know, it's a bit more problematic in the law.
In law.
Because when I have a lawyer who I'm up against and he or she is getting paid to be irrational, is getting paid by the hour to piss me off, it becomes very difficult because I'm a very principled lawyer. My undergraduate degree is from Brown, and it is in moral ethics and political philosophy. So it becomes very difficult for me under those circumstances. So, you know, when you're principled, how do you go about, and we only have about 40 seconds here before the break, how do you go about bringing it down a level?
Well, you don't have to you don't have to give up truth to hold your ground and just give a person the space to say whatever he or she needs to say. You're not giving up your own space. You're simply giving them space to say what they need to say, and then you're going to have a chance, once they get that all out, to respond from, as you said.
Kristen, you sound like every judge I go in front of. You'll have your chance. You know, this is fascinating. Call us at 800-222-5222, 800-222-5222. We're going to talk about coaching bad after the news. We have up against the break. You're listening to Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Hillary Clinton, topic number one, as a long list of Republican presidential hopefuls tried out their very best lines before a crowd of party activists in New Hampshire this weekend, including Donald Trump.
I know Hillary very well. I do. I can beat her, and I think most other people will not.
Now that the Republicans have all had their say, Clinton is on her way to the Granite State.
She'll be here on Monday and Tuesday for a series of events. We expect a lot of the same kind of events we've seen already in Iowa. So very small round tables, a very intimate chat.
Correspondent Athena Jones. Al-Qaeda tightening its grip on a southeastern port city in Yemen. International correspondent Nima El-Bagher has just been in Aden, where they're running low on medical supplies.
The hospitals are overwhelmed, they're faltering, and they're running out of what they need to save patients' lives.
Los Angeles Kings center Jarrett Stoll has been released from jail after being arrested on a felony drug charge in Los Angeles. He's accused of possessing cocaine. I'm Michael Toscano.
If you ever gave your wife an impact wrench for her birthday, then CarQuest Auto Parts is for you. If your idea of an impulse purchase is a 300-amp crank assist battery charger, then CarQuest is for you. If even your work gloves have calluses, then CarQuest Auto Parts is for you. That's because CarQuest is for guys who really know and care about their car. With over 800,000 available parts, CarQuest is serious auto parts. Visit CarQuest.com.
Welcome to Staples. How can I help you?
Hey, Staples guy. I need to promote my new business and do it on budget.
I can make that happen.
Can you print business cards?
Staples can print business cards, brochures, banners.
Pens?
Pens, magnets, luggage tags.
Calendars.
Calendars, sticky notes, lawn signs, and window decals.
What about foam fingers?
What color? Red, yellow, blue.
You had me at yellow.
Make on budget happen, make getting noticed happen. Staples, make more happen. Now at Staples, get 40% off large banners, posters, and lawn signs.
Offer valid on all large banners, posters, and lawn signs in store and online and 627.15. Discount applied before taxes may not be combined with any other offer. See store, staples.com/signs for details.
Any person who makes or causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Burby, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn. 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
The glass is always half full when you're listening to Gervy's Law on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
And yes, you are listening to Gervy's Law. I'm Alan Gervy. I'm here with the Carrie Kasem. And we are talking about anger and anger management. We have on the line from Pennsylvania, Dr. Christian Conti, who is, of course, the co-host of Coaching Bad with Ray Lewis. And we just mentioned Coaching Bad, and our board lit up. A lot of fans. It's a hit show on Spike TV. A lot of fans out there across the country. And we have a lot of people calling up who have questions for Dr. Conti. Before we get to that, Carrie, you just texted me a picture.
I did.
In the first segment, we were talking about my little kid's book here, Hands Are Not for Hitting, and I had quick tips for reducing anger. One of them, which was my favorite, was yelling into a pillow. So she took a picture of me yelling into a pillow right here at KBC Studios. And I don't know if Erica Wise is going to post that on the Facebook page.
But we will today, so you can check it out.
Gervy's Law Facebook page. You will see Alan Gervy with his Winnipeg Jets hat on. Jets playing the Ducks tonight. Jets looking to tie up the series. He is screaming into the mic, and we want to thank Erica Wise, the producer of this show, for putting together this show today. Bringing back on the line Dr. Conti. We have a call right now because it's really important. We haven't talked a lot about Coaching Bad, but we will. And Natalie is just itching to get on the air with you, Dr. Conti. Natalie, welcome to Gervie's Law from Northridge, California.
Hi, Alan. Hi, Carrie.
Hi.
Hi, Dr. Conti.
How's it going,
Natalie?
I am a huge fan. The show Coaching Bad really hit home to me. My father was a lot like Tyson in a way, and I felt like Tyson in the beginning was in denial about his anger management problems. And it took the group, you know, to really turn on him, to really, you know, confront his issues, to make him realize that he does have issues. But when someone is not in that type of setting and has denial about their anger management issues, how would, like, the family or just normal people respond, or how should we treat, you know, get him to realize that he does have these issues?
Right. Well, first, Natalie, thanks so much for your kind words about the show. I appreciate it. I appreciate it a lot. I think Carrie hit on something earlier that can really to get at this. When we're trying to get someone to be aware, look, I always say if one person tells you something one time in an argument, it might not be true. But if one person tells you something more than once, or more than one person tells you the same thing, like you're struggling with an anger issue, then it's probably true and you just can't see it. So I would think about taking that line to someone, to a loved one, and actually saying that, but not at a coming at them way, but a very supportive way. So my visual for you for this is almost as if you're not sitting across from the person, but sitting side by side with the person, saying more of a compassionate approach of, look, I love you, I care about you, and it's hurtful whenever you lash out. It's scary when you lash out. And I want to find a way to say that doesn't get you defensive.
Dr. Conti, do you feel that Tyson was in denial about his anger?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. That was kind of one of those easy cases that we would show people in counseling tapes and watch a client say, well, watch this. Because it's all, you know, you make fun of the, you know, on the show, he would make fun of, hey, this is all hippie stuff, and
yeah,
I don't want to do this kind of thing.
Do you believe that all the other seven coaches are in denial, or are there some that are acknowledging the problem?
Well, I think some definitely acknowledge the problem sooner than others, but I think we all, to some extent, believe that whatever we're doing is the right way. Otherwise, we probably wouldn't be doing it. So we kind of rationalize for ourselves that, listen, what we're doing is good because, you know, why isn't it good? We have a tendency, listen to this, we have a tendency to minimize the hurt we do to other people, but maximize the hurt other people do to us.
Hmm.
So if somebody cuts me off in traffic, it's, how dare they cut me off? But if I cut them off, it's like, hey, what's the big deal? I just cut you off.
Right.
You know, Natalie, I want to thank you for calling, and thanks for listening. Keep watching Coaching Bad. Christian, I have a question here, because what you're alluding to now talks about what causes this anger. And you do a great job, better than I've seen from a lot of psychologists and psychiatrists, in really just breaking down what causes anger. And you talk about shame, you talk about insecurity, you talk about depression, you talk about anxiety, all leading to an angry personality or these lashing out sessions. So tell us how these concepts, perhaps concepts that are developed in early childhood and are produced throughout people's developmental years, affect the ability to manage anger.
Yeah, I think that's a really great question and thought to think about. Listen, what I do with my yield theory is something called conscious education. I'm basically trying to help people expand their awareness. And that's I think it needs to start at a very young age. I love that you and your wife go out and get a book to teach your child about this stuff. I'll tell you a little bit about the pillow in a minute. But what happens is, when you're young, let's picture this. Let's say we all down three energy drinks really quickly. What's going to happen is we're going to have a physiological heartbeat going really fast, and we're going to have the physiological symptoms of anxiety. And when we have those symptoms, if we don't have anything to be anxious about, our mind will make up a story to match our body. And so when that happens long enough, what we do is we would rather lash out in anger and I got to be angry at this, because when I get angry, my body floods with endorphins and I feel good. Whereas if I'm stuck in depression or anxiety, I've got all this excess cortisol in my body and I just don't feel good. And if we, at a young age, constantly learn, when I have this feeling, I've got to lash out, I've got to scream at a pillow, I've got to punch something, then we start to associate, this is how we handle that feeling. So instead of teaching people to yell on a pillow or to punch something, I teach people to talk about it. We've done this with our daughter since she could talk. Hey, listen, this is how you're feeling right now. It doesn't feel very comfortable, and that's okay. It's okay to not feel comfortable sometimes. Let's talk about that feeling. And so I know some people say it's too touchy-feely, but I think a lot of times when people see me, the juxtaposition of me and my message, I'm a 6-foot, 250-pound bald guy with tattoos, but I talk about the compassion and just talking things out.
You know, Christian, that makes a lot of sense. Carrie's laughing right now, because what did I just do?
He's just throwing things in here. He took the big pillow and threw it across the room.
I threw the pillow away because I agree with what he's saying, and I don't agree with the book, Hands or Not for Hitting, where it says yell into a pillow, because it makes a lot more sense what Dr. Conti is saying.
I could tell you a really powerful story. Like, there was a guy who was in my anger management group, and he was so frustrated because he was so angry because he said, listen, I didn't even do anything wrong. I shouldn't even be here. So I said, what? We found out the story. What he did was he stabbed his air mattress 30-some times when he was in an argument with his wife, and he turned around, and he never had intention to do anything to her. But, of course, she didn't know that. Here's a guy who just stabbed the bed 30-some times with a, you know, foot-long knife, turns around, dripping in sweat. His wife's scared to death, thinking she's going to kill her. He goes to jail. He doesn't realize why until I did it. I role-played and did it to him, and I showed him that, look, people see your actions, not your intentions. So even though he may not have had an intention to do anything to her, his actions showed that she was scared to death, rightfully so. But let's come back to the hitting the pillow. What did he scream out to me when I was talking to him? Well, I was always told to go hit a pillow. Well, he did that to the extreme degree by putting a knife to his bed. The point is this. It's not so much the pillow. It's the when we associate anger with hitting, anger with doing something, you know, violent. It doesn't need to be that way. Really, it doesn't. It's just a really deeply entrenched belief to think that it does.
And, you know, what hits me where it really means something is when you talk about people would rather be angry than deal with anxiety, depression, shame, and insecurity. That really is the heart of the matter. And maybe we need to teach people, as you are doing, to feel more comfortable with their anxiety, which is usually a focus on things that might happen that haven't, but might, that's fear in the future, and their depression, and turn that around to make people comfortable with those feelings so they don't have to resort to anger.
Exactly, exactly. And we don't, look, you guys take the negative message, turn it into something positive. I love that. So we look at this whole issue of anger, what happens in our society. If we can turn it into positive, it's this. When enough of these events happen, we are going to, as a society, say, look, emotional anger management, emotional management needs to be in every curriculum in the country. We need to teach people from a very young age, how do I deal with our emotions? And we simply just, we've got isolated pockets of probably excellent teachers who do that here and there, but just as a society, we don't do that well enough and deeply enough. So part of my effort to combat that is I created this whole anger management program where I really, it's not just people think anger management, but they learn so much about all of their emotions. So that's really what anger management is. It's emotional management.
You know, people are listening very carefully to this because we're getting a lot of calls. I want to talk about something that's on your website that people really need to go and think about purchasing, because it is a step-by-step management system for these issues. It's called the Anger Management Workbook. It can be found at drchristianconte.com. Tell us a little bit about the Anger Management Workbook.
Well, here's what I did. I took a program out west where I had, in Northern California, I had people who would, my center for people who were convicted of violent crimes. I had gangbangers who would graduate my group. They would the off of parole, and they would come back voluntarily to the group because they loved what they were learning, and they were being treated as humans, and many of them for the first time. And they thought, listen, I'm learning. I'm actually learning this stuff. So what I did is I put together over 100 original exercises. I filmed DVDs so that I introduce every exercise to somebody, and then I put together a guided meditation CD and a little book of personal challenges. So it's really like being right there with what I'm doing. But I wanted to put it in a way to deliver it to a wide number of people. And so I'm real happy to have this now because that's what this is. This is taking that very successful program and it's making it available for everybody.
And for those people who think it's very simple, they are simply wrong. If you watch Coaching Bad, you can see that these people who I assume know what's going on, that this is a television show, still cannot maintain decorum and handle their emotions. So we're going to talk a little bit more about Coaching Bad. Can you stay with us for the last segment, Dr.
Yes.
Conti? Great.
Yes,
we're happy to be. And, of course, we have Ken Kokin coming up at the end of this show, which we always have him, and he's waiting in the wings. But this is important stuff. Call us at 800-222-5222. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
If you like painting and saving, ask Sherwin-Williams and save 40% on paints and stains during our four-day super sale, April 17th through the 20th. With 40% off our exceptional paints and stains and 30% off painting supplies, you can give your whole home a color makeover. But hurry, these savings are so super, they won't be around for long. Find your nearest store at SherwinWilliams.com/sale. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hi, this is Ken Michaels, host of the show Mortgage Makeovers. Hey, if you're interested in buying a home or maybe even refinancing your home, you need to make sure you're getting the best deal. Tune into my show, Mortgage Makeovers, every Sunday at 5 a.m. right here on KABC 790.
Have you or someone you love been touched by addiction? Tune into the Body Politics Show as Suzanne Marcus Fletcher offers options and hope with some of the best rehabilitation experts in the field. That's the Body Politics Show, Sundays, heard at 8 p.m. on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
You've heard of Murphy's Law, but have you heard of Gervie's Law? Anything that can go wrong can be made right. Now, here are your hosts, Carrie Kasem and Alan Gervie.
Yes, you are listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. We're talking with Dr. Christian Conti, who is co-host of Coaching Bad and who is a nationally certified psychologist and expert in anger management. I have a quick question to ask you, Dr. Conti, before we move on. We have Jason waiting. We're going to get him on the line in a second because he has a question that I'm interested, I think, in. But I'm a big fan of HBO's Hard Knocks and 24/7, which is the road to the Winter Classic for hockey. I'm a huge hockey fan. I watched the 2011 Winter Classic, road to the Winter Classic with Pittsburgh Penguins, Washington Capitals. Bruce Boudreau, who was the coach of the Washington Capitals, was utterly disgusting in that show, if I could say so. His mouth was as foul as I have ever heard in my life. Every word was an F-bomb or other type of word. It didn't even make sense. He was throwing F-bombs in when it wasn't even appropriate. This is what you are fighting against, Dr. Carney. When people see someone like Bruce Boudreau, who rose to the top of the NHL coaching levels, and these are they're the models that coaches who are coaching kids have, and they see them acting in this way on TV. So why are they going to constrain themselves while they're coaching kids?
Right.
Well, you're right. Look, I think that if you want to have disciplined athletes, you've got to be self-disciplined yourself. So for these coaches who do all this, you know, cussing people out, putting people down, what I think their people fail to see is they may be successful in spite of what they're doing. So in other words, how much more successful could they be if they were empowering or positive, and brought some, and were able to bring the best out of everyone? I'm not saying that everyone responds in the same way, but that's just it. These coaches who think it's the one way, it's the put you down and belittle you and objectify you, and that's going to work. They may have success. But that doesn't mean that it's the objectification that gives them the success.
that they're having success in spite of that stuff.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But at the same time, I'm sure you have naysayers who say it's because of that activity and that behavior that they are successful. I just don't condone that. We have Jason on the line from Los Angeles. Jason, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Not too bad, Jason. What's up? What do you got for Dr. Conti?
So I have my son's soccer team. He's on an ASO soccer team. And, you know, obviously the coach is just – he's really hard on the kids. And I guess I'm just, you know – without attacking the guy myself, what's the best way for me to approach him to kind of just realize that what he's doing is not okay?
Well, first of all, you're right. You can't just go. And I know that feeling as a father. You want to say, hey, listen, this is not right, and I'm about to do something to make it not right. But you've got to use your head. So you've got to find a way to approach him. And I'll sound a little bit like a broken record, but I think Carrie will support this in what she described earlier, which is if we really want to approach someone, we got to come at them, show them we have to come with them, not at them. So in other words, you go up to the coach and say, hey, look, you're doing a really good job in a lot of areas with my child. Here's some things I'm not comfortable with.
Right.
At home, our value system is this, and our family is not comfortable with him being put down. So, you know, I definitely appreciate a lot of the things you're bringing to the table, but that particular area, it just doesn't sit with us. And then what you have to decide is whether or not you'll want to continue to, if he chooses to respond to that in a negative way, will you continue to have your son be involved with that, or will you pull him out and try to find a different avenue for him?
Jason, let me ask you a question. Did you see the movie Whiplash?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so you're a father, and if your son, and I'm sure Dr. Conti has something to say about this, but if your son is the kid in the movie Whiplash, do we really think that the teacher, the conductor, would be open to hearing about your family values when apparently he had none?
I mean, it's a tough subject. You know, you have no idea where they come from. So I guess what I was asking is, hopefully I don't agitate them to where they lash out at me, you know, shake it out on my son, you know.
But is it possible that you just remove your son from that, maybe, I don't know what kind of league he's in, and put him somewhere else?
Dr. Conti, what would you say about that with respect to the movie Whiplash?
Well, you know, I don't remember that movie, but I can get what you're saying from it. And I think that Jason was really hit on a good point, which was we don't know where this person's coming from, and we don't want to guess how he's going to respond until you actually try it. And so part of what I hear in Jason's voice is that struggle with figuring out the line between assertiveness and aggressiveness. Like, how do I say this to this person in the best possible way? And what I say is, you know, you do your best, you be assertive, hey, listen, this is what I'm not comfortable with, and depending on that reaction, then you've got to make your next decision. But part of it is having that courage to take that step, because so many people don't say what they need to say to these coaches, which is why we silently allow this to continue happening.
Makes a lot of sense. Jason, thanks for calling Gervie's
Law. Thank you so much. Thank you, guys.
You're welcome. Now, Dr. Conti, what is it like working with Ray Lewis?
You know what? I am a diehard Pittsburgh Steelers fan. Pittsburgh, so I kind of bleed black and yellow. But Ray, really, really close friends, and he is super intense. So, we're both very intense, passionate people. And we would laugh because he would always say, look, we're both two very alpha males, but we never competed, so we kind of just got along from the very beginning because we had the same mission, the same vision, which was saying, let's take these coaches who yell at and belittle children and say, we got to teach them a different path. And so he comes at it from his angle as a motivator. I come at it from my angle by, you know, educating people with the compassion. And it was great teamwork, I think.
What do you think is going to be the future for Coaching Bad? It just finished its first season.
Right, right. Yeah, I don't know. I think it was it did well, and I think people seem to certainly respond well to it. I've gotten a lot of feedback from all over the country from people who learned some powerful things from it. So we'll see, but I think it was a pretty good show.
Question on just being on TV. How's that changed your life?
I don't think drastically because where I live. So I kind of, being in Pittsburgh, I'm definitely recognized in my area.
but it's not like everywhere I go.
No.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, he's being a little humble because he's a very recognizable guy. So if you haven't been on the internet and checked out Dr. Christian Conti, go to his website. You will see that he is a little intimidating, although listen to the brilliance of his anger management techniques. I'll tell you something, you know, if the show goes on longer and longer, you will not be able to go and get a cup of coffee without someone coming up and asking how to solve their problems.
Hey, I learned long ago not to say what I do when I'm on an airplane. I said that one time, I was sitting next to a woman on a five-hour flight. She looked for 5 hours of therapy.
Oh, no.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no.
From then on, I used to get on planes and say, the people say, what do you do? I say, you know, I'm unemployed right now.
And then they say, but you look familiar.
I don't think I can do that anymore. But.
Now, Ray Lewis has an interesting past. He's, you know, obviously played for the Ravens for a long time, but also had some legal issues himself. Has he talked to you about how this show has been able to, you know, I know he's a Christian and, you know, he's doing the right thing, but, you know, a lot of people still think that there are some issues from his past that are a little bit questionable.
Well, listen, I think when people form an opinion, it's very difficult to break that opinion. And so whatever perspective people have, they're probably going to have. Unless they open themselves up. And when they open themselves up and they see people and they see the whole person, I think things can change for them. But, you know, I think he's seen a lot of positive reactions from this show. I know he's certainly heard from people who, and we both have, we've been, people reached out to both of us on social media talking about the change that they felt from watching this stuff. So it's all real positive stuff.
You know, it's interesting that you bring up that point because it's consistent with what the show is about and what you preach in terms of anger management, people having to kind of understand, take away, put their being right on hold and talk about, you know, when you talk about the power as well, you know, holding on to the power, not giving someone else the power, that's all consistent with people forgiving or people seeing the other side of the story.
It is. My entire theory, my yield theory, is predicated on one radical fundamental assumption, and that's this. I believe if I lived every day as someone else, not just walked the proverbial mile in their shoes, but lived every day as that person with their cognitive functioning, their affective range, like their ability to experience emotions, and their life experiences, I believe I would have made every single decision that that person made. And I say that, and it's a lot to swallow probably at first, but here's the thing. I work with some of the most people who have done some of the most horrific things in our society. And a lot of people ask me, why do you do that? And part of it is because a big part of why I do what I do in the prison system is this. 7 out of 10 people come back to prison, pretty much, about 70%. And that's not okay. And guess who they're offending on when they come out? It's our family. So that's one reason. Another reason is this. When you realize what people go through, and it's not just like, hey, I had a hard life, but I didn't do that. Yes, but you had your cognitive functioning when you had your hard life. You had your own experiences when you
went
through it.
Right.
So if people could really understand the other side of someone's life, it changes things drastically for you.
That's true. And that's what the yield theory is all about. There's 7 components. Go to his website, drchristianconti.com. We're running out of time. You'll read about the yield theory, and you're going to want to order his anger management, the workbook. Again, they can get the anger management workbook on the website. We're running out of time. Unfortunately, we won't be able to get Ken Kokin on the... No,
look at him.
He's not very happy. He's sitting there. But, you know, Christian, what you're talking about is much more important than having our...
Ken's a friend of the show.
Yeah, he can come back another time.
Thank you for being patient, Ken, and, you know, self-talk.
Yeah, and he's not angry.
I think he's going for your pillow.
He's going for my pillow. Christian,
yeah,
I want to...
I was going to tell you, you know, when you talk about what to do with kids, I just released a book on Amazon called Zen Parent, Zen Child. Might be a whole different approach.
I am getting that book. It's Zen Parent, Zen Child on Amazon. I promise you, Nancy and I are going to get that. We want to thank you, Christian Conti. All the luck in the world. Good luck with coaching bad, and good luck with your keeping people on the right track. Thanks for listening to Gervie's Law. We're running out of time. Sorry, Ken. Thanks, Carrie.
Thanks.
We will see you next week right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.